this is Jamie from Stonemaier Games, and today I'm going to do something very different, something inspired by some of the recent discussions that we had on my State of the Channel video, where many of you asked if I could go more into detail about the design process and the production process of making Stonemaier Games, as those decisions might relate to the types of decisions that you, other designers and publishers, might make. Or you might be watching this just because you're curious about Stonemaier Games or some other reason. Feel free to let me know in the comments below. But what I decided to do, so I thought about this for a while. I have design diary posts, written posts on the Stonemaier Games website, very detailed posts. I know many of you are here because you enjoy videos more than just reading, which I totally respect. Different ways of consuming different types of content. But I didn't want to just sit here and like read through those design diary posts. But I realized that there is something that I needed to do, which was clean out my closet of secrets back here, which is full of stuff that, like samples and things that we tested for games, not prototypes. My prototypes have long since been recycled by now. But these are mostly like test components that we tested in the design and publishing process of making these games. And so I thought I might go through and look at some of these different components that I have in this closet, and organize the closet in the process, and talk about some of the decisions that I had to make and relating to design and production throughout the process. I think I will talk about two games here. I think I'll talk about Rolling Realms and Red Rising, the two new games from Stonemaier Games this year. Both were either designed or co-designed by me, and we'll see if that's what I do. I have no idea how long this will take, so I'll cut it off after one game if it takes too long. And the game I'm going to start with is the most recent one, Rolling Realms. So this is an infinitely scaling roll and write game, although I say infinitely scaling, even though it comes in the box playable up to six players. This was a game that I designed early on in the pandemic as an infinitely scaling, remotely playable roll and write game. And then I ended up liking it so much and ended up having enough meat on the bones, in my opinion, that I decided to actually publish it through Stonemaier Games. So I have the final published version here, which looks like this. And then I have one of the last, I believe this is either an MPC, which is a mass production copy, or a PPC, a pre-production copy. It's very hard to tell the difference now because Panda sends us both during the process. I have one of them here, and as you can tell, other than my little sticky note here, it's nearly indistinguishable from the final box. So this is the final box. This is either the MPC or the PPC. And so let's look through some of these components. So one of the things that I did talk about on the design diary was the process of selecting the dice. And so originally, the dice look like this. These are giant acrylic dice. They're frosted dice. And because in Rolling Realms, one player, doesn't matter which player, is going to roll two dice. And then each player will use one of the dice in one of their realms. You have these three realm cards in front of you. And they'll use the other dice in one of the other realms that they haven't used already that turn. So the dice are important. They're a big feature of the game. And really, in a roll and write game, I wanted some component that stood out and looked really special. So I thought, okay, let's just make the dice as big as possible. So I made these giant dice. I believe they are 40 millimeter dice, acrylic, frosted. I got the frosted idea from the latest version of King of Tokyo, called like the Knight Edition or something like that. I like that frosted look. So we tested it out and we put these custom hexagonal pips on it. But when I got these dice, I realized they are so heavy that they don't really roll all that well. They're almost too big and too heavy, and the acrylic nature of them just doesn't roll well on the table. It almost sounds like it's damaging the table when it hits because they're so loud. And so I then decided to make a smaller version of them. So smaller, still frosted, you can see them in comparison here. So they're smaller, I believe these are around 25 millimeters. They're smaller, they're frosted, still have the hex tokens. They also have the rounded edges. I really like dice with rounded corners. So I thought, okay, maybe these will roll better. And they did. They did roll better. They don't feel like they're damaging the table. But they still just felt a little weird. And they actually didn't look quite as special as I thought, the frosted look. They look really cool for the King of Tokyo version, but and they're nice. But they didn't look quite as cool as I thought. And so I decided to go with a marble die. Let's see if I have one of the marble dice here. Yeah, so we decided to go with, instead of acrylic, we went with normal, instead of resin. I may have said acrylic earlier. These dice were resin, very heavy type of plastic. These are acrylic, still heavy duty plastic, but more standard dice material. And we went with this marbled version. where they literally mix two different colors of plastic together. So really, no two dice end up exactly the same. And we kept the hexagonal pips. And these work great. I really like how these turned out. The blue looks a little dark on the camera here, but it's not that dark. So it's blue and green swirled together. And so that's, I mean, this is like the component hook in Rolling Realms. It isn't that much of a component hook style of game, but I really wanted to get the dice right, and I'm happy with what we ended up with. But you can see the process of going through that. Here's one of the sample dice that I received during the process as we tested this out. One of the other components we tested out, yeah, I have some samples here, were the pens. So we decided fairly early on that I wanted Rolling Realms, the final version, to be dry erase. So I wanted to use these dry erase cards that I'll get to in a minute. I'll talk a bit more about them in a second. Those were inspired by Silver and Gold, a game called Silver and Gold by, I believe, Pandasaurus. And so we needed dry erase markers or pens to use in the game. And so one of the first ones we tested were these pens right here. And they're fine. These are fine pens. And we had these little, I kind of like the colored dry erase markers or dry erase pads. But we ended up going just with black pads because I was worried about the dry erase material showing up on these pads and ended up looking bad. So we just went with the black material. Let's see if I have those. Yeah, so here are just the black pads that we ended up with. Which I'll come back to that in a second because there is a design component element related to this pad. So didn't go with the colored pads. The pens are a little small in your hand, so you can see how it fits in my hand. It's a little small, but it works, just a little tiny. And the tops, well, actually, that top came out pretty well. But I found that some of the tops were really hard to get off. I don't know why. I liked that they closed tight because I want to keep the ink wet for a long time. But some of the tops didn't come off all that well. It's making me look silly now because the top is coming off clearly well. And I wanted them with a very fine tip. Let's see if you can see that. Yeah, so this does have a fine tip. So in some regards, these pens were fine. Technically, they fit in my hands. I have somewhat small hands, so I have someone with bigger hands that wouldn't work as well. And the top, in my opinion, some of these, the tops just didn't come off. Let's see if there's another. Yeah, so this is one. This top is not coming off as hard as I'm pinching it. It's barely coming off. And so these pens didn't work. And so we looked for another pen, and we finally settled on this dry erase pen. I really wanted a nice dry erase pen. So every player has one of these. So it's a much chunkier pen. You can see that it's thicker, it's longer. It's not too big, but it's a really nice size, just a little bit bigger than a pen. And the top has these striations on it to help you get a grip on it to pull it off. Here, there we go, pull it off. So it stays tight, keeps the ink wet, but it does come off. And again, we have a fine tip here because you are writing on cards. And writing numbers on cards, so we needed a fairly fine tip. The one thing that we couldn't get in these pens was an eraser top, because my favorite dry erase pens are the ones that have the eraser on the top itself. And so we went with separate pads. But that's the one thing that I think I would have liked a little bit more about these pens. But otherwise, I think these are the nicest dry erase pens I've seen in the game. They're just in my opinion, the perfect size, the perfect length, and the perfect tip. And the top seals really nicely and tightly because you don't want these pens drying out. So, I mean, even just a little component like this, a pen, we spent quite a bit of time trying to get that right. I say we, a lot of these decision points come down to me, but other people are involved in the process. I often include my coworkers, Joe and Alex, in these decisions, especially if they're coming over here and we're testing these pre-production copies. Also, our product manager or project manager at Panda, Shannon. Shannon is really, really helpful at offering ideas, sending me different samples, and making suggestions along the way. So those were the pens and the tops. What else do we have here that's changed over time? Yeah, so the one other thing, I'm looking to see it. So we have a rule book. We have a smaller box here for Rolling Realms than we usually have because I didn't want to have this giant box full of not all that much stuff. I don't like a lot of air in the boxes, but I wanted room for expandability if necessary. We have a white insert here. Let's see if it ended up white in the final version. I'm not sure if it did. It may have. But we have the rule books. We have the Altama golf thing, golf game. Two components that come to mind that I haven't mentioned. One are the cards themselves. So every player has their own unique set of cards. So here's like the blue player will have all of these cards. They have the blue back. All the fronts are the same as compared to other players, but like this card, this set has a different back. And originally, and so you write on these cards. So you have three realms in front of you, and you'll write and mark things off on these cards, these dry erase cards, and then you'll erase it. A couple things that went into this process. One, I mentioned that I didn't want a pad of paper. I have nothing against pads of paper in games. In fact, I often like it because it gives you an artifact to keep after the game is done. So, like in Between Two Castles, you can look back and say, "Oh, this was my score on this day, and this is even how I got that score because it has everything on that score pad." However, in Rolling Realms, the reason I wanted dry erase cards is because I wanted them to be easily randomized because one player will randomize all their cards, they'll shuffle their cards together and generate a set of three realms, and all players will use the same three realms. It would be somewhat, if not very unbalanced, if every player had their own configuration of realms. So each player is going to use the same set of three realms each round. And so cards makes that easily shuffleable, easily randomizable, because you can just shuffle the cards and have a random set of cards. So that's one element of it. Also, cards makes it easier to expand, because I wanted to be able to expand Rolling Realms, because each of the realms looks at one of our games. So here's the Euphoria realm, the Between Two Cities realm, and the Tapestry realm. And so as we add more games to Stonemaier Games, I want to also offer promo packs that have new realms for that corresponding game. And cards makes that easily expandable. So that was the thought process behind the cards here. With these cards, though, dry erase cards, originally only the front of the card, which is the side that you write on, was going to have this special dry erase coating. But Joe wisely pointed out while reviewing the PPC, like this back, you can't really tell, the back of this card does not have dry erase coating because you're not supposed to write on the back of the card. You're never supposed to do that. But Joe pointed out that if we really want to foolproof these cards, not that we think that our customers are fools, but you know, we all make mistakes. Sometimes someone might draw on the back of a card by accident. It would not ruin the game at all, but it makes it a little harder to randomize if you have a card that's marked on the back. And so Joe pointed out, hey, let's just foolproof these and put the coating on both sides of the card. So even the backs of the cards now in the final version have the dry erase coating, so that you can feasibly write on the back of the card if you want to. You never need to. So that was something that we changed during the process of reviewing these pre-production versions of the game. And last, I talked about expandability a second ago. And so the expandability of the game will come through these promo packs. So these harken to a few different things. One, I love Magic the Gathering drafts. This is not a drafting game. This is not a collectible game. Rolling Realms isn't. But I love the moment in Magic of the Gathering where you get to open a new pack. You have this little tearaway seal right here. So we decided for Rolling Realms, even though there's no randomization at all, and this is a disposable component, that we wanted that kind of joyful moment of opening the pack and discovering what's inside, discovering what the new promo will look like. So once this is actually a promo pack, a Rolling Realms promo pack, inspired by the game Rolling Realms. So it's very meta here, this particular promo pack. And as we release new games in the future, we'll have similar promo packs that have the six realm cards, one for each of the players in the game, to go along with these packs. I'm holding up this pack in particular, though. Let's see if I have this other sample. Where did I put that? Yeah, because Joe realized, so I'm putting the types of things that we might discover during the proofreading process. Yeah, so here's actually a pack that has cards in it here. Joe realized, actually, no, both of these have it. At one point in the process, we realized that we hadn't noted the artists on this pack anywhere. Let's see if there's any differences here. No, these two must be the same version. But at one point on the back of these packs, we hadn't noted the artists, Miles Benski and Marius Petrescu. And we needed to fix that. So we added the artist names to the back of this pack. I have some others here that I can't show you on camera because they will reveal games in the future, but we are planning ahead. So we do know like what our next game will be, and we already have the promo realms ready for that game. What else? I don't think there's anything else about Rolling Realms. And I've gone on long enough that I might actually make this its own standalone video. and do Red Rising separately. I might do one of these for each of the games. But let me look at, let me pull open the final version of Rolling Realms to see if there's anything I missed. No, I mean, it's not that complex of a game in terms of components or even how to play. So I don't have anything else to reveal about the design or production process here. If you want to learn more about the design process specifically, you can, I'll link below to the design diary area of our website for Rolling Realms, and you can read more in detail about that. There are plenty of photos there too if you just want to skim through and see which photos intrigue you to actually read more about that particular section of the design diary post. You will have to expand a section to see all the posts, but they are indeed there on the page that I'll link to in the comments below. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the mostly production decisions that I discussed today, but there are a few design elements here that I mentioned, and I will do another video about Red Rising right now that I'll post on a future week. All right, thanks.